voice of Westchester. WVOX.
Welcome to Brand Talk, the only show on radio where branding gets practical, here on WVOX Radio, 1460 on your AM dial. My name is Dr. John Tantillo, and we're here to talk about brands, your personal brand, your career brand, and even your business brand. Folks, for those of you joining us for the first time today, this show is about transitions and how the science and psychology of branding can help change your relationships for the better, your career or business for the better, your life for the better, so that you can become the brand you are truly meant to be. This is a call-in show, and it's your show where we want to hear from you. Now, in the interest of full disclosure, occasionally I'm going to have some callers who I have asked to call so that the full range of what we can do here on Brand Talk can be appreciated, or specific issues, which I really think will get you thinking, can be brought up. So, are you going through a transition? Are you concerned about a brand or somebody else's brand? Why don't you give us a call at 914-636-0110. That's 914-636-0110. This is Brand Talk. My name is Dr. John Tantillo. We want to hear from you. Or how about emailing us at doc@brandtalkradio.com. That's doc@brandtalkradio.com. It's all in the name. You know, it's simple. As Philip Kotler, one of my idols in the field of marketing, in his book, Principles of Marketing, says that marketers need to position their brands clearly in their target market's mind. Strong brands achieve this by going beyond attribute or benefit positioning. Rather, they are positioned on strong beliefs and values, and that these brands pack an emotional wallop. And when they get into trouble with their respective target market, there can be problems in them their hills. And I believe that this is the case for Penn State, and why I believe that they should, in fact, change their name so that they can start anew with a new set of strong, positive attributes that are devoid of past non-positive associations. And this is what branding is all about. Getting into the trenches when everyone else is in denial and believe that it too will pass. However, in branding and marketing, we have to be realistic about our brand in order for it to survive and to flourish. And I'm not proposing changing names as a way of donning a disguise, nor is genuine marketing strategy ever about fooling anyone. No, marketing has to be fundamental and true to the underlying brand. And this is why we change a name, because it's no longer working. It no longer has those strong, positive associations. Rather, it brings up more negatives than positives. And as a branding person, a name change for Penn State must serve as a signal to faculty, students, and alumni, and the general public that the university is moving into the future with a determination to retain what's good, but also transform itself into something better. A name change will mark the beginning of a new era in the school's history, an era in which the school commits to a new way of doing business and will prevent the kinds of wrongs that have occurred from happening again. To change the name of a brand is not an emotional decision. It has to be a rational one, which is based in reality and not the platitudes of the past. And for those who believe that brand names are subjective and do not have a basis in science, well, think again. We know from tests like those done at Baylor, at the Human Neuroimaging Lab at Baylor University, Coke Pepsi tests, subjects were given both drinks, but those who saw the Coke logo while drinking Coke declared a preference for Coke over Pepsi, 3 out of 4, and their brain showed a complex set of reactions that went beyond the actual taste of what they were drinking, especially stimulating the memory areas of the brain. And what this shows is that people's reactions to a brand are tied to complex responses related to the brands and themselves. As a result, at a certain point, Penn State will have, if it hasn't already, become toxic, meaning that people will automatically and involuntarily experience a negative reaction whenever they encounter it. Well, that's the science, and here's an antidote. And this is why I, in fact, wrote what I wrote and why I'm saying what I'm saying. Last week, a colleague of mine related how he had seen someone at Rockefeller Center wearing a Penn State jacket. The name made him so angry that he considered seriously approaching the man and giving him a piece of the mind about the school. Yes, the name has to go. And with that, we are Penn State. Cheer at every game, the jackets, the banners, the logos, and all other references to this damaged identifier. And what will be used in its place? I have no idea. And that's what marketing firms do, and brand marketing and branding firms do. They come up with names. And perhaps, so there's going to have to be research done. And you're going to have to get the alumni involved, and you're going to have to get the school involved, and it can't be just something that's slapped together. It's got to be something well thought out, and so I think that the good folks at Penn State will work this out, and my bringing this up is not an attack, it's a suggestion. And it's an idea. And if we just put aside all the emotionalism and think about this logically, perhaps this is the right thing to do. And this is Brand Talk here on WVOX Radio, 1460 on your AM dial. My name is Dr. John Tantillo, and we have some exciting things that we're going to talk about. By the way, if you enjoyed or thought, maybe you wouldn't enjoy what I said, but if you thought it was at least thought-provoking, you could go to foxnews.com and go on the opinion page, and where you see John Tantillo, just hit on there, and you'll see the post. So, the name of the post is, it's time for Penn State to change its name now. So that's that's it. So, I hope, like reading the article, and it helps you to think about your own personal brands, of what happens when a brand is, in fact, damaged, and what things that you could do. Some people have told me that I was all wrong and that they should simply keep the name and it will pass over. But I don't know whether or not I'm just bringing this up as something to think about. And, I just don't want to give wrong advice, and so that's why I am, in fact, being very proactive here as opposed to being reactive. Proactive would be doing something, in fact, that would be positive for that great institution that has gone through some pretty not-so-good times. So anyway, 914-636-0110 is our number. Here on Brand Talk, or doc@brandtalkradio.com. Little housekeeping. We're not going to be on next week. I'm going to be down in sunny Florida, my favorite place, Miami Beach. Some people say God's waiting room. I don't agree with that, but I love going to Miami, see some friends, and as well as next week, we should be coming out with John Tantillo's winners and losers for 2011. That should be good. And what we're going to also talk about today, in addition to the winner and loser of the week, we're going to talk a little bit about the brand disasters of 2011 by Inc. magazine. I was interviewed by the American Marketing Association this past week about them, and we'll maybe get into that. But we got a lot of stuff here. We got Did You Know That? And I think you'll be happy to hear what that's all about this week. And, of course, the winner and loser. And, of course, your calls, right? 914-636-0110. If you hear me slurring, I still got that cough, and I'm doing pretty now. I just mentioned it. I thought I was doing pretty good, so that's why I'm still got that cough. But we're on the mend. So anyway, let's. But before I get to the winner and loser, I just have one thing I have to say. I saw last week Michael Bublé. And if you don't know, I mean, I am a big fan of Frank Sinatra and the American Songbook, as well as even Lady Gaga. So I have a wide range of what I listen to. So anyway, Bublé, does these Frank Sinatra interpretations. And he was on Kelly, and the one woman, he's just such a nice fellow. He's such a charming kid. He's a great talent. And this woman lost the game that they played, the trivia game that they play each week. And what he did is he paid for the trip that the woman missed out on. He said, "I had a good year. I feel that I owe this to you. I screwed something up," or he didn't even screw anything up. But the point is, he took the money out of his pocket to send this woman, to on this trip that she would have not gone because she answered the question incorrectly. So, my hat's off to him. And not only is, and if you're not familiar with him, you gotta really find out about it. Great, great brand, and great storyteller, and seems like a real, as Johnny Carson used to say, a 360 kind of guy. So anyway, there you have it. So with that said, let's go to our winner and loser of the week. Folks, each week I choose two brands that I believe have either exceeded or failed in basic brand fundamentals so that you can implement the takeaways into your own life. And without any further ado, let's talk about our brand winner. And our brand winner is Ford. Ford Motor Company. You know, I don't know if you know, before I get into this, I don't know, but in our family, you were either a Ford and American Motors was around, but nobody really bought Ramblers or American cars. But in America in the 1950s, you were either a GM person or a Ford person. And my family, my father was a General Motors guy, and it was so funny. Fords were just, you just wouldn't touch Fords. And I remember getting, in the 80s, my first Lincoln Town Car, and how my father's attitude towards Ford changed because he just thought it was such a great riding car. So very, very interesting. But anyway, let's get back to the winner. So if you haven't been around, you found out that in November, Ford's retail sales rose 20%. And part of the reason is that Ford predicted an uptick in their demand for fuel-efficient cars, and they've been on the cutting edge of this. And not only that, they're just very forward-thinking. Talk about Lincoln's. They are going, they have hired an ad agency whose only mission, all right, is to focus on the Lincoln brand and what that means. And the agency has devoted 45 people to that brand mission. And so you just have to tip your hat, and I'm tipping my hat, to Ford for doing that. And they're also looking at their F-150 trucks with its fuel, increasing their fuel efficiency. They're just way ahead of the curve, and you can just be sure that they will be the brand to look for in the future. So good luck to that. And we have a caller. And then, so we're going to take our caller, and then after that, we'll get into the loser, and I think you'll find that quite entertaining. Okay, caller, what's your name? What's your brand? Where are you from?
Hi, my name is Alden, and I'm from Maine.
I'm sorry. I did not have my ear plugs plugged in. So could you do that again?
This is Alden.
Alden. Okay, yes. Alden. How you doing today, Alden?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Okay. So what's on your mind today?
Well, today I'm thinking about video blogging via YouTube.
Yes.
And how to stylize the videos for my own personal branding.
Mm-hmm.
To be attractive to users using Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
There are many different nuances when using these different platforms, and I'm trying to understand how to appeal to all of them.
Mm-hmm.
And how best to direct people to the videos through these different social networking platforms.
Mm-hmm.
And how to stylize each video to be appealing.
Okay. Well, if you were a Fortune 500 company, right, which you're not, okay, and which most of us are not, the way you do this is you would get people in the room, you would come up with some ideas, and you would have a focus group, and you would have people, in fact, react to the different styles, and find out what people like, and you're going to basically do that, but it's going to be more in the live, which means that you're going to have a basic idea of what you want to do. And then by trial and error, you're going to find out and get data and accumulate that data and find out what formula works best. And that's the basic difference between, an entrepreneur and an established company, that what you do is a lot more trial and error. And that's not a bad thing, but the important thing, and this is what I underscore and stress, is the accumulation of data and knowing but finding out what people are thinking. Not whether or not you like, what's being done, but how are your customers responding? And what are they responding more positively to? So, the good thing for you is that you are very close to the age of the people that you'll be selling to. The problem will be years from now when you're 10, 15 years out of college. How do you, in fact, connect with your target market? Well, that's why you, in fact, then it might be the time for the focus groups. But right now, what you want to do is have maybe three or four ideas. Do you have three or four ideas?
Three or four ideas for
this kind of look, the palette of the of how it's gonna how your YouTube channel is gonna look.
Yes, I do.
Okay.
And so
go ahead.
I do have the opportunity to test these ideas and these different styles
right.
on a focus group at the University of Maine.
Right.
When I come back from break, but I'm considering kind of like a quick format where the video is very short in length and just covers almost one small tidbit of information.
I love it. That's exactly what I would say. Go ahead.
Then, of course, medium-length videos, and then, of course, more like a blog video where it's, you know, a longer message to the viewer, almost creating a conversation with the viewer. I've seen several of those kinds of videos done. But
okay, what is the objective of each of those different formats that you're using?
The objective of a shorter length video.
Yes.
Is just to teach the viewer one tidbit of information, one small piece at a time, and to just capture their...
You want to teach... Wait a minute. Hold on. Whoa.
Okay.
You want to teach them, or do you want them to buy something?
A little bit of both.
No. You can't do a little bit of both.
Okay.
You know, you gotta choose one or the other. Okay? You can't do both. Okay? Although you can do both. And what I'm basically saying is the most important thing here is not to teach. You're not a teacher, but to sell. Now, if you could make it in a educational kind of framework or posit that they're going to learn something from it, that's it. But remember, the most important thing here is for them to buy. But go ahead.
Yes. Okay. I guess that is the main objective.
Okay. So it's a
To teach them something so that they're more apt to sell. That's
correct. Okay. So that's the short one. Okay. Now let's go to the next. What's the next one?
So a medium length.
Okay. Medium length. How? When you say medium length, how long?
Like two minutes.
Okay, so 2 minutes. I say no more than 2 minutes. Go ahead.
Say no more than 2 minutes.
No more than 2 minutes. Forget it. Right. Especially with that generation, with that target market. No way.
Right.
Go ahead.
That would be probably more of a conversation with the customer.
Do you think a conversation, or do you think it would be better like short 5-10 second like clips of different people's conversations? I don't know. I mean, that's something else to think about.
Yeah.
But okay. All right. And what is the objective of that of this longer version? You see where I'm going on this?
Exactly. The objective would be to build a relationship with the customer, so that they know the brand, they know what it's about, and they kind of know the person behind the brand who represents the brand. So it's to create a relationship, more of a relationship, and then to sell.
It's a little foggy. I'm not quite getting that. It's noble, but why do you want to establish this relationship? What's the idea of establishing this relationship?
Well, so
what do you hope? What do you hope to do?
Right. So when a customer watches the video, they'll feel like they are almost a part of the brand. They know the person, or they know the brand very well.
Okay. It's still a little too fuzzy for me.
Okay.
I think what you're saying, okay, is something like this, that you know your customers, or you're willing to listen to your customers so much that you are willing to establish this relationship so that you can better satisfy what it is they want. And yeah. isn't that more of like what you're saying?
That too, but also to gain the trust from the customer, to create a genuine appeal.
I think that comes more with the spokespeople that you choose for the spokesperson you choose for doing that, the trust part. Do you ever believe somebody when they say to you, "Trust me"? You think
no.
twice.
No. Or,
okay.
Or,
all right. You see where I'm going on this?
Yeah. Exactly.
Okay. So it's got to be more that. Excuse me. That your target market is seeing these things, and that you're hitting them with things that make sense. And Alden, I'm going to have to. If you want, we can come back after the break, but. What we're going to have to do in about 20 seconds is break away, and it's a hard break, and I don't want to be rude to you because these are very, very, very good questions that you're bringing up. And by the way, you're listening to Dr. John Tantillo on Brand Talk on WVOX Radio, 1460 on your AM dial. And what we're going to do when we come back after the break is we're going to follow up on this excellent question from Alden. Did you know that? And the second part of the winner and loser.
You're listening to AM 1460 WVOX.
World and national news three times an hour. Here's the latest update from Fox News Radio on WVOX Worldwide.
Fox News Radio, I'm Lisa LaSambra. The standoff over the payroll tax cut extension continues.
Americans who live paycheck to paycheck and Americans who are doing a little bit better than that and saving a little bit will have to change their budgeting next year if the House walks away from this bipartisan compromise.
White House spokesman Jay Carney, who says President Obama called House and Senate leaders urging them to reach a deal.
We're hoping that the Senate Democrats will appoint negotiators. Come to the table and resolve these differences.
House Speaker John Boehner, the Senate passed a two-month extension. The House wants a one-year deal. The FAA with new rules to try to prevent pilots from flying when they're overly tired.
Daily pilot work limits will be 9 to 14 hours, depending on the time of day and number of time zones crossed. That maximum includes time waiting to fly. After work, 10 hours rest will be the minimum.
Fox Radio, Steve Taylor, Fox News. We report, you decide.
Now with your latest up-to-date forecast, here's Steve Pelletieri's Eye on Weather, exclusively on WVOX Worldwide.
Forecast Westchester County and the vicinity for this Wednesday afternoon, mostly cloudy skies, period of some rain and drizzle, highs will climb into the middle 50s. Partly cloudy, chance of rain through the overnight hours and clearing, lows falling into the middle 50s, mostly sunny, highs ranging into the lower 50s on Thursday. Cloudy skies Thursday night, area rainfall Friday morning, give way to partly sunny skies in the afternoon, highs into the middle 40s, partly sunny, lower 40s on Saturday, Christmas Day, clouds and sun, chance of a flurry near 40. It's Steve Pelletieri, Jr. reporting for WVOX Worldwide and WVIPHD.
Cloudy skies, 53 degrees.
Have a holly jolly Christmas.
With AM 1460 WVOX.
The voice of Westchester, 1460 WVOX.
We're back. You're listening to Brand Talk on WVOX Radio 1460 on your AM dial. My name is Dr. John Tantillo, and we're speaking with Alden Blease from Maine. He is an entrepreneur. He has a company called Roargasms, And he, from time to time, comes in and calls in, I should say, and sometimes comes in and talks about his company. And we'd like you to do that as well. And you can do that at 914-636-0110, 914-636-0110. And it could be about a company that you have. It could be about your personal brand. It could be about your career brand. But that's what we do here at Brand Talk. And Alden, we're on stage two. And excuse me. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. And we were talking about objectifying what it is you want to achieve. At all of these, by doing these things. So we're at number two, and I think we came up with a that what we want to do is establish a relationship.
Yes.
With our customer, am I right?
Yeah. You are correct.
Okay. And what about the third?
The third was just a longer version, more of like a demonstration of how product could be used in daily life.
Okay.
I'm wondering if that's even necessary.
Ah, very good. See, that's why we do that. This is why it's always good to have someone to talk through this with.
Right.
All right. And I think that I think one and two are just fine. I don't know if we need a three
okay.
Yet. I mean, maybe there might be a reason for doing that, but I think that's terrific. Okay. So, is there anything else? Because what we want to do is I do want to move on, but I want to make sure that your questions are.
Yeah,
are in fact,
questions are answered. Of course, I can keep asking questions. But I do have a question that's actually outside of.
Go ahead.
May end
sure.
up affecting my company further down the road, and that is the NAD's ban on Photoshopping.
Okay, we're learning the alphabet. What does NAD mean? I know what it means, but I want you to say it. Pardon me?
The National Advertisers Division.
Of?
Of.
The Better. Go ahead.
Say that.
The Better Business Bureau.
Right, yeah, exactly.
Okay.
So it's a ban on the Photoshopping.
Yes. Well, no, well, that's not totally correct, but go ahead. It was, but go ahead. Continue. I'm sorry.
How will this affect
you there?
How will this.
Hello? Did we lose him?
Oh, sorry. I'm just in Maine.
Okay. I think what Alden was referring to is that. Taylor Swift had an ad for mascara, and what they did is they photoshopped her eyelashes, and they gave the impression that was a result of the product, and it was really, and you can't do that. I mean, that's really deceptive advertising, and so you could never do that. You cannot deceive the person that you think that or the public in an ad by using Photoshop. I know we have a whole generation of people that couldn't live without it, but you simply can't do that, and that's all they were saying. So anyway, we thank Alden for his points, and let's get back to our loser of the week. And the loser of the week is, yes, the BlackBerry. As I am looking at my BlackBerry as we speak here. Yes, the BlackBerry. It's in trouble. I couldn't believe this when I was doing the research for this. And when Jonathan, my producer, told me this, I just couldn't believe it. The name of the company is Research in Motion. Their share, okay, dropped from 24% last year to 9.2 as a result of the iPhone. I can't believe it. It's absolutely incredible. And not only that, they had outages. And so, and if you know anything, you're paying a significant additional fee for their software. This is not a good. This is not a good thing for research in motion, and the question is, because you know, in business, we all face competition, and the question is, how do you deal with it? And it appears to me that they're not doing a very good job, research in motion, and they better do something quick, otherwise they're going to be one of the grand brands that have not done well in the transition. And the secret in marketing and branding is not what have you done, but what have you done lately. And you can't live in the past. And that's if we've learned anything about that, and that's what we can learn from, by the way, celebrity brands or entertainment brands, because they always are in fact on the cutting board. As soon as Lady Gaga does not become relevant and not stay with her stay up on things, will be the day that her brand loses significant share. Just one second. Let me just take a sip of water. So, oh, that's better. See, what you have to do when this happens, folks, is you can't get nervous. You just got to because what happens here is when you're on the radio, you want to be perfect. And God knows I'm not perfect. It's my Catholic background. I gotta always be well prepared. You know, if you came to the studio, this whole show, I have 25 pages of notes that I wrote, and everything has to be well laid out. So, because it's part of my brand. Because if you're taking the time to listen to me, I should take the time to put the time in, so that it's the best show that I can possibly give you. And that's what we're doing here. So anyway, see, the water worked. Anyway, so good friends at Research in Motion has to get their act together, and I believe that they will. This is a wake-up call, but let's see. You're listening to John Tantillo. This is Brand Talk. Here on WVOX 1460 on your AM dial. We'd love to hear from you. We had a very wonderful discussion with Alden, who is starting his own business. But give us a call, 914-636-0110, or doc@brandtalkradio.com. That's 914-636-0110. And it's about time for Did You Know That?, where what we do is each week we go into the wonderful world of Did You Know?, where little-known facts are brought center stage for your delight, amazement, and dare I say, your continuing education. And now, Did You Know That?
This is Dr. John Tantillo asking, Did You Know That? Ideas matter. But in the history of successful invention, execution and follow-through can matter even more. The year is 1934, the Depression grinds on. An out-of-work salesman, Mr. Charles Darrow, is introduced to a pastime called the Landlord's Game. He becomes transfixed by the homespun amusement, and convinced that it has great commercial potential. Darrow enlists his wife and son to remake the playing pieces from oilcloth. With the little money he has left, He hires a graphic designer to give the game pizzazz and a consistent look. Confident he has success, Daryl takes his game to Parker Brothers, but the company is far from impressed. They reject it for what they call three fundamental errors, the worst being the length of play. Far too long, in their opinion. But Daryl doesn't lose heart. He invests even more money in order to deliver sets to Wanamaker's, a popular Philadelphia department store, just in time for Christmas. The store sells out of the game in a flash. This time, it's Parker Brothers that approach Daryl. Daryl gets a patent, and Parker Brothers gets a license to sell the game. Soon, this out-of-work salesman becomes the first billionaire board game maker in history. And the game? You guessed it. None other than Monopoly. And now you can say, yes, I know that.
Yes, we're back. We're here at Brand Talk on WVOX Radio 1460 on your AM dial. And did you know that? Monopoly, one of my favorite games as a kid. I love it. I still play it. I play it on my iPad. It's a great game. And, you know, a few years, a few years ago, let me take a sip of water because I don't want to get nervous here. So let me take a sip of water here. Wait, excuse me. Okay, I did that. So, Monopoly, a few years ago on PBS, they did kind of like this idea that he wasn't the original. There was the original was back done in the 1920s by a woman, Elizabeth Lizzie or Maggie Phillips, and you know, he stole it from her and all of this other stuff. But you know, folks, you know, in marketing, it's all about marketing. You know, it's not who invented it, it's who markets it the best. All right. And if you take a look at the Landlord's Game, that was the original name of it. What's wrong with that name? It's too long. Monopoly says it just like that. So this guy, Darrow, understood marketing. You know, it's like, excuse me, it's like my friend Elias Howe. Elias Howe invented the sewing machine. But if I would have asked you who invented the sewing machine, most of you would say it was Singer. But that's not the case. It's Singer marketed the sewing machine. And in the same way, Darrow marketed Monopoly. And it's all about, you know, when they say it's not about the marketing, it's about the marketing. And if we can learn anything about this, about marketing and the importance of it, it's how Monopoly as a brand was started and how it continues to be a great success. And, you know, and then, of course, you know, the gatekeepers, Parker Brothers, well, we don't want to do that. It's just too long. By the way, if you ever done that with anybody, it's the, excuse me, it's the committee of no. It's everybody says no. When you come up with a great idea, you gotta be able to overcome that and say, no, there is a need here, and darn it, I'm going to do it. So anyway, there you have it. But let me find out from you how you feel about Monopoly and how they did this at 917-687. No, that's my cell phone. That's my that's my cell phone I was giving you. It's 914-636-0110. That's 914-636-0110 or doc@brandtalkradio.com. See, I'm getting all excited here because I have so much to really go into and tell you about that I'm giving wrong numbers away. Anyway, another little tidbit about Monopoly is that here, I bet you did not know that, is that in 1941, the British Secret Service had John Waddington, a licensed manufacturer of games outside the United States, create a special edition for World War II prisoners of war held by the Nazis. And hidden inside these games were maps, compasses, real money, and other objects useful for escaping. I bet you did not know that. So it's just such a great game that, like I said, I just played it last night on my iPad. So there you have it. So what else? Well, I have some real good talking point, other talking points here. And since we're talking about brands, the other day I was interviewed by the American Mark. Excuse me. Let me take that water again. Ah, that tastes good. By the way, you're listening to WVOX Radio 1460 on your AM dial. My name is Dr. John Tantillo, and this is Brand Talk. And we want to hear from you, you know? I mean, what about if you have a business and it's just not right? By the way, I was at my friend's Stephen Bruce is a dear friend of mine, and he is the owner of Serendipity. And I was there yesterday, and I haven't had this in a long, long time, and my blood sugar went up as a result of it. I had excuse me. Root beer, you know, with not diet root beer, but real root beer. And boy, that was good. And what was good about it is I had it with a New York City pretzel. But the reason of this mentioning Stephen Bruce and Serendipity is that I had asked how business was. And he told me it was not like last year. And and by the way, this guy does so much promotion, it's not even funny. He's always in the press. He's always doing some sort of promotional activity. So the point I'm trying to make here is that if you have a small business and your business is off, maybe it isn't off. And maybe you could share why it isn't off, what your secret is. But I was talking to another fellow who everybody's business seems to be off a little bit. Excuse me. I'm going to take another slip. I should say sip of water. And everybody's business is off. And so what we do here at Brand Talk is that we might be able to help you come up with a creative idea. Or you might be out of work. And maybe, you know, you're frustrated. And believe me, I understand that. It's so frustrating when you know how good you are and how talented that you are, and yet you feel that people don't see it. And we can talk about that on Brand Talk as well. But anyway, so that's my Serendipity Stephen Bruce story, and the frozen hot chocolate is terrific. And so there. And then on an advertiser, and he's just a dear friend, and I just saw him yesterday, and that's the point of that story. And the point was his business is, like everybody else's business, is a little bit off. What will happen in the future? Only God knows, right? But anyway. So anyway, I was I had this interview but from the American Marketing Association. They wanted... Inc. came out with the 10 brand disasters of 2011. And the number 10 was Bank America. Well, I mean, you don't have to be a genius on that one. I mean, what, you know, and folks, this, you know, I understand that finance people and accountants, they it's all, you know, when they say it's not about the money, it's about the money. I like to say when they say it's not about the marketing, it's all about the marketing. Well, look, you got, I mean, for them, for Bank of America to raise the price, and I mean, it's so, it is infinitesimal, but it's not the money. You know, my mother used to say, it's not the money, it's the principle. All right. And this is the problem, especially with banks, you know. And it wasn't a marketing decision that was made. It was a finance decision that was made. And that's when you get into trouble, when you underestimate the importance of marketing. So anyway, Brand of America is number 10. Number 9 is BlackBerry. We talked about that. And then number 8, A&F. And what they cited was their introduction of the padded bra for preteens, which, you know, not really a smart situation there. But anyway, A&F is number 8. And then, you know, I feel so proud of myself because and then I think about what my mother would say and my aunt would say, don't think you're so smart there, mister, or self-praise stinks. That was my aunt's line, because the next thing I was going to say is Facebook. And of course, Facebook is what we talked about as well as being a loser for them, you know, changing their settings and the security that was going on, and whether or not they were in fact collecting data on their customers. It was just not a good thing. And by the way, this isn't my list. And by the way, you're listening to WVOX 1460 AM. This is Dr. John Tantillo, and this is Brand Talk, heard every Wednesday from 3 to 4 here on WVOX. And these brand disasters is by the good folks at Inc.com came up with them. And and we're going to be coming up with our own brand winners. We're not going to call them disasters. We like to call them, we're a little bit more positive here. We call them brand winners and losers, and that will be out next week. And you'll see me on making some TV appearances. Oh, I almost forgot. Tomorrow I'm going to be on 10:30 a.m. with Arthel Neville. That's it, Arthel Neville at Fox News Live, and you get that on the internet. Fox News, like Google Fox News Live. I think it's foxnewslive.com. You'll be able to listen to me talk about brands. And we're going to talk a little bit about Penn State and other things. But that's tomorrow. And I'm going to get to the rest of this list, so don't fret. Family Radio. These are the good folks that said that the world was going to end, and it didn't end. Not a good thing. And then News Corp was a disaster. But yet, say what you want, they played it the right way. They did exactly what you want to do. They dealt with the situation quickly. They were honest, and they were forthcoming, and they communicated they had nothing really to hide. And, say what you want, but I believe they handled it. They did the crisis management playbook. they didn't hide underneath their beds. They came out and dealt with the situation squarely and fairly. And so that was a disaster. Number four, we talked about this too. Netflix, once again, what was it? The 25-30% increase in prices. Another debacle from the finance people. Not really a good thing to do. Blackwater. They went to a more neutral name called Academy. Yes, and I mean, not a very very good situation. And then Qantas for encouraging people to communicate their best luxury experience, and then being hit with a strike and having all of their customers tweet as well as communicate that it was their flights being canceled. Not a smart thing. So and the last was Wall Street, that really wasn't an industry, but anyway, I guess they felt good at least talking about that. So anyway, well. So that's what Inc. did this past week, and that's what I was gonna do. And if you like to friend me, that's our show, folks. I can't believe it. Listen to Brand Talk every Wednesday from 3 to 4 on WVOX.
May your holiday season be blessed with peace, love, and joy.
Merry Christmas.
From AM 1460 WVOX and WVIP HD2 New Rochelle.